verse number 13. Romans 8 and 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And then Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word and for your blessings and for this service and all that have come. And I pray that you would speak to us from your word tonight. Oh, Lord, make it real in our hearts. Help us, Lord, to get a glimpse of your power and your leading hand in our lives. We give you glory for it, Lord. Pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to preach to you tonight about confidence in providence. Amen. Confidence in providence. Now, the word providence itself is not found in the Bible, but it's what we might call a theological word or a term. And it's defined as, in briefly, because it can be very complicated, but briefly, it's the divine working of a sovereign God in the affairs of man. Amen. The divine working of a sovereign God in the affairs of man. Amen. That word providence actually comes from a Latin root meaning foreseeing. And it's the idea that God, obviously, as God, He sees all and He knows all and ultimately He controls all. Amen. I want to talk to you about this providence tonight. Amen. I want to talk to you, first of all, about the evidence of providence. Amen. How in the world do we know? How can we believe that there really is a sovereign God and that He is working in the affairs of man? Well, first of all, the very first great proof of God's providence and sovereignty is creation. Amen. It's interesting, amen, that the world does everything in their power to tear down, amen, belief in God by destroying belief in creation. That's why they are so adamant about evolution. That's why they do not want creation to have a foothold in a school. They don't want to have equal time. Because they know anybody gets a hold of the truth of creation, automatically they've got a hold of God. And they don't like that. Amen. God spoke the world into existence and created it out of nothing. Amen. I read a little thing that's just kind of a little story, but it said there were some scientists who decided to challenge God about creation. They were going to create life too. They were going to create man too. So they all got together and they all had their theories and they all had their plans and they began to do their work. And so one of the scientists said, "All right, I'll start off." And he reached down and grabbed a handful of dirt and said, God said, "No, wait, get your own dirt." Amen. Hey, man could never and has never been able to create himself. How ridiculous is that? You know? How can anybody create themselves? Amen. God is the one, the Bible said, amen, that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Amen. He simply spoke them into being. Amen. His Word framed them so that things which are seen were made of things which were not made of things which do appear. So, I mean, He created substance out of nothing. Amen. The psalmist said, by the Word of the Lord were the heavens made. And all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. Amen. I mean, He didn't even have to do it. He didn't exert Himself. I mean, I know the Bible describes 6 days and He rested on the seventh, but He didn't rest on the seventh day because He was tired. He hadn't been working from sun up to sundown and exerting Himself and wearing Himself out. It was symbolic. Amen. Just by His breath, He was able to create the hosts of heaven. Hallelujah. In Isaiah, we're told, lift up your eyes on high and behold, who hath created these things? Amen. He bringeth out their hosts by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of His might, for that He is strong in power, and not one faileth. Hallelujah. Amen. It went so far in this matter of providence and creation, amen, that Paul said the invisible things of Him, of God, from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So the creation of all the material world and of mankind as well, awesome proof of the sovereignty and providence of God. Now, I do want to show up hands here for a second. How many of you agree with everything I just said? You believe God personally and by His own power created everything in the world that exists. You believe that? Let me see your hand. All right, we got to stay on the same page here, okay? Because it's important later on. Amen. If you don't believe God created it all, then you might as well leave because you're not going to get any help out of this sermon tonight. All right, but if you believe He created it, stick around. All right, His providence, there's evidence not only in creation, but in revelation. Amen. When you think about it now, you realize there was a time when God existed and nobody else did. All right? God existed. The Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, and not even angels. There was a time there weren't even angels. There was no Lucifer, no devil, no Satan, nobody, only God. And then God created the angelic beings, and then God created all the universe and all the world, and then God created man. So the point here is, man could never have known there was a God on his own. Man could never have come to a knowledge or an understanding of God or eternal matters on his own. We wouldn't have even known there would ever have been a God except He revealed Himself. God took the initiative and willingly revealed Himself to mankind. He started by directly speaking to them. You know, it's kind of ironic. In our time, people think, oh, man, if we could only have God speak directly to us. But the fact of the matter is that was not His most perfect way. That's how He started. But He perfected on that. Amen. That's right. He began speaking directly and by making personal visitations to man. And then through dreams and visions. And then by the giving of His law. And then He began sending spokesmen or prophets to people, to the earth and among men. And then He gave the written word of God and He sent His own Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. He revealed Himself to man fully and completely. Amen. The Bible says that God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. Amen. Whom He hath appointed to be heir of all things, and by whom He made the world. Peter said, we have a more sure word of prophecy, and we know that no prophecy of the Scriptures of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. We couldn't make it up. But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. It's an awesome wonder that we, right here tonight, on October the 7th in 2009, have the very Word of God. Amen. The revealed will of Almighty God. The revelation of God and the revelation of His plan, and we've got it. It's great proof, evidence of providence. Amen. The third thing that follows up on that is not only the matter of creation and not only the matter of revelation, but generation. Because once God started the human race, now we can look back at man's history and through man's history of generations in the process of life, and we see evidence of God's providence all the way through. Amen. God did create man in the Garden of Eden, but could man have survived totally on his own? Could man have multiplied and filled the earth and increased to such knowledge, even to the level of life that we have now? Could it ever been done solely by man alone? No, never. Be impossible. Paul said, for in Him we live, and we move, and we have our being. You realize that if anybody was able to get rid of God, all the human race would immediately die? Do you ever think about that? The only reason we're alive is because there's a God. Matter of fact, if anybody was able to get rid of God in any way, to get rid of Him and Him cease to be God, everything in the world would simply disintegrate. God is holding it all together. Amen. All the generations, all of life, all of history that we have, it's all because of the providence of God. All of those things are evidence of His providence. Now, I'm going to make sure you're still with me. All right? You all said you believe in creation. That's proof there's a God. How about this? Do you believe in the revelation of God? You believe that? Let me see your hand. You believe that? God did this. It's part of the providence of God. You believe that the only reason we're alive and being able to live is because God exists. You believe that? Good. You're doing good. You're staying with me. That's great. Now, let me talk to you about what I call the performance of providence. All right? We know there is a God, and we know that God does work, but how does He work? How do you know God's working? How does He work in the affairs of men? What are the agents of providence? What methods does God use? Well, I'll admit to you now, I hope this doesn't hurt you too bad, I don't claim to know it all. All right? I don't have it all figured out. But there are some things I can tell you tonight that are ways that we see God's providence working right now in our life. First of all, by the laws of nature. Who set up the laws of nature? God did. Amen. Clearly, these laws were put into place by God Himself, and they never change. Now, what's interesting is, it don't matter where you live in the country. I've lived in Illinois, I've lived in Pennsylvania, I've lived in Oklahoma, I've lived in Missouri, and no matter where you live, there is one saying that is universal. Almost universal. Well, if you don't like the weather today here in the Ozarks, just wait till tomorrow. Everybody who lives thinks the weather changes every day. And in some ways it does. But for the most part, it's the same everywhere. It is. Amen. The laws of nature in the Ozarks are exactly the same as they are on the West Coast. Their climate may be a little different, but the laws of nature are the same. And the laws of nature are the same in South America. And the laws of nature are the same at the North Pole. Amen. If you could ask Santa Claus, he'd tell you it's true. Amen. The laws of nature are the same everywhere. That no matter where you go, those laws of nature are in force. Amen. They do not change. They have been the same since the beginning. The law of gravity has not changed. It's still the same today. Amen. The working of the solar system, men didn't understand it at first, and we don't even fully understand it now, but it's been working the same way it always had. Amen. The planets, the sun, the stars, amen, weather, seasons, the plant kingdom, the animal kingdom, the mineral kingdom, the laws of light and sound and energy are all the same. Why? Because God is in charge. Amen. Man discovers these laws and acts like they invented them. They didn't invent them. They discovered them. God made all these laws that are operating, and we're just trying to figure them out. Amen. That's one of the ways God works by providence in the laws of nature. Amen. God also, His providence also works in the conscience of man. Where does a person get that inward awareness of right and wrong? I've mentioned to you before, you don't have to teach a child to lie. They'll lie if they have been told, don't do a certain thing, don't go a certain place or distance, and they do it. And you look at them, they look guilty. Why? Because they know they did wrong. They did it. And if you say, did you do that? They'll probably say, no, I didn't do that. And they'll lie. But they'll feel bad about it. They'll feel guilty about it. Why? You can't by yourself teach a baby as it begins to mature and become just an infant. You can't teach them to have guilt. It's already there. I know later on people grow up and they override that until there are some people, the Bible said, they've seared their conscience. They have no guilt. They have no shame. They have no remorse. But that conscience put within man is part of God's providence. Amen. God put it in there. That's the way He made us. It was God that created you and me in His own image. Amen. We are tripartite beings. Amen. God is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. We are spirit, soul, and body. Amen. The spirit is God consciousness. The soul is self consciousness. And the body is world consciousness. Amen. This God-given conscience is so remarkable that Paul said in Romans chapter 1, that which may be known of God is manifest in them. God put, don't take this wrong, I'm not saying you're God, and if you think you are, talk to a friend or a spouse and they'll set you straight. But God placed a small part of himself in every human being. And it's another whole subject, but that's part of the reason why every life is sacred. Because every conceived child has a small part of God already in him. Yeah, that's part of God's providence. Amen. The way we grow up and the way we make decisions and the things we do, amen, I know there are factors that will affect that, but all at the bottom line, that's part of God's providence. Amen. I know we're not all geniuses and we don't do everything right, but God did give us an inner conscience and some reasoning ability. It's part of his providence, amen, to help us live life right. He gave us that capability and that ability, and all we've got to do is get it out in the front and follow it. It's part of God's providence. But now this third thing is the one I want to really talk to you about, and that is circumstances. Because, see, this is the hardest part of this whole subject for us to understand and comprehend and get a grasp on. Those laws of nature, we believe in them. We know they're there. They're so far above our understanding and certainly far above our control. We admit the laws of nature have to be in the hands of God, you know, and that's just the way it is. And even the makeup of man or woman is certainly very complex, and we all admit that it's very complex. We don't even claim to understand the complexity of all of human nature and life. That seems to be even beyond psychiatrists and psychologists are all trying to figure it out, and nobody's ever figured it out. So we all say, yeah, man, I believe God is in all that. I believe I put that all in his hands. And then we come to circumstances, and that's right where we live. Our lives are made up of circumstances. Amen. Circumstances are defined by the dictionary as, here are all the definitions that were given in this dictionary that I had of circumstances. Events, conditions, situations, chance, and fate were included in man's definition of circumstance. Even the dictionary shows a lack of faith in God's providence. Amen. By stating that chance and fate are part of the circumstances of life. Now let me ask you a question. Do you believe that chances and fate are part of the circumstances of life? Don't raise your hand on that one. A lack of faith believes that chance and fate are part of the circumstances of life. Amen. This whole issue is kind of a case of not being able to see the forest for the trees. You know, we get zeroed in on these things that happen to us. That's what we see. Amen. Our eyes, our minds, our hearts are locked in on these situations and circumstances that we have. And oftentimes, please hear me now, I'm not going to be real, real long, but I want to get this across to you. Sometimes we fail to see the big picture. Amen. We get narrowed down on these circumstances that are happening to us, and we lose the whole point and the message and what God's trying to say. For my text said to you tonight, we know. This is something that we know. This is not speculation. This is not surmising. This is not hoping or wishing that this would be the case. This is knowing. We know this. This is something we can be certain about. Now listen, you got to get a hold of that. Amen. Because a lot of times we say, well, I know what that verse says. You know, I know, I admit I do believe the Bible. But when you put that on there, you don't believe the Bible. Well, I know it's what the Bible said, but. Well, if you say that, you don't know. And the Bible says we know. It's not something for us to argue about. It's not something to discuss, you know, as far as being critical about, taking the devil's advocate side about. We know. We know. What do we know? We know that all things. All things, that's all happenings, all circumstances, all events, all conditions, all situations of life, all things work together for good. For our good. For our family's good. For our church's good. All right? I mean, he's not talking about working out for God's good. They're working out for our good. Amen. There are two conditions to that. Amen. To them that love God. How many of you here love God? You love God? Good. I'm talking to you still. Amen. To them who are the called according to God's purpose. Now, amen. Can you really honestly say, hey, my life is not my own. I have been called by God. I belong to God. I've been bought with a price. And I now, my life is called not to my purpose. See, here's where we get hung up on this matter of providence. Amen. Providence is not to work out my purpose for my life. Providence is to work out God's purpose for my life. Is it possible that God's purpose and my purpose may be different? It's very possible. It is very possible that what I think is not what God is thinking. Amen. It may be that what I want is not what God wants. It may be that what I desire is not what God desires. Amen. We do have to submit ourselves and come under God's purpose. Amen. And realize we are called according to His purpose. And when you love God and you're called according to His purpose, amen, you can mark it down. Everything will work together for good. Amen. So Paul said in my other text, it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. God is working in you, in your spirit, in your soul, to bring you to willingness. People who never submit their will to God cannot claim these verses as promises. But God is working in us to help us to will and also to do His good pleasure. Amen. So God is working in our spirit and in our soul to bring us to willingness and to obedience. Amen. To do His good pleasure. God working in our life, in our life situations, in our circumstances, in our events, in our conditions, in our happenings. All those things, amen, they are not going on without God's intervention. He is involved in every one of those. Now let me finish up by talking about the confidence that we need to have in providence. When we know that God is real, and you all said you believe that God is real, that you believe He's the creator of all, amen, He is the sovereign King of all, and He is working in us and in our life, we can have confidence in His providence. Amen. Paul said, and the Bible is true, Romans 13:1, there is no power but of God. There seems to be power, but really, when it all comes down, there is no power but of God. And even the powers that be are ordained of God. Amen. I know we feel like even in America that we suffer under legislators that don't know anything about God. You know, we chafe under their authority. Sometimes they're making decisions we don't like, we don't want, they're not even right. You know, all of that, God ordained human government. Amen. Human government only exists because there is a God. God is the only power, and the only power any man has, whether he's a king or a president, amen, the only power he has, he only has it because there's a God. And when it's all said and done, man's power will be gone, but God's power will remain. You can have confidence in providence. Amen. Proverbs 16:33 says, the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. Now, I want you to think about that for a minute. There are many things that happen that seem to be chance. Because that casting of the lot, for lack of a better comparison, is like throwing the dice. That's what it relates to. You know, not that we gamble, but we know what that means. The casting of the lot would be compared to the throwing of the dice. All right? And so people say, well, I had bad luck. This happened, bad luck. I've said that, you know. But I have to honestly, if you pin me down, I don't believe that's true. But we say that. But there are a lot of people, they really believe that. They believe that the only reason their life is where it is because luck has gone against them. They've had disaster. They use words like disaster and tragedy. And they believe that these things come and you can't avoid them. You can't plan for them. You can't prepare for them. They're unavoidable. And we're run over by this circumstance. We're flattened by it. And fear and worry and anxiety come into lives. Amen. Because they feel like life is just something dangerous that's about to happen. And there's nothing you can do about it. Now, I'm going to tell you what. Any Christian who lives their life like that needs to really pray through and get their heart in the Bible. Because that's not right. It's not right. Amen. For Christians to feel like life is a Mack truck and it's coming right at you and you can't get out of the way and you got to let it smack you to the ground and run over you with a steamroller and maybe somebody can come along later and scrape you back up and put you back in shape and you say, well, not right. No, and that's why the fear and the worry and the anxiety that comes from that mentality is not right. Amen. Even though things do happen that seem to be all by chance and all by fate, it seems like it was just the casting of the lot and the throwing of the dice. You got to remember, amen, you have a God, a Father, the ruler of the universe, amen, who cares for you. He's watching out for you. Amen. He is working in you and for you. You can have confidence in providence. Does that mean I'm going to understand everything that happens to me? No. No, I'm not. Can you understand how God could simply speak and create a world like we live in? No. But I believe He did it. I don't understand, you know, but He did. I believe He did it. You? So yeah, there's going to be things happen to you and me that we do not understand. We cannot just sit down with everything that happens and say, boy, God made that happen. Boy, God killed him. God made him or her sick. No, no, I'm not saying that. You know I'm not saying that. Amen. The world we're living in, amen, has laws that operate too. God made laws of sin. Amen. And consequences. Sometimes people suffer for, and there are things that happen in human life. Amen. But you got to understand, it's not that we're going to be happy about every circumstance and be happy about every happening or event. No, no. We're not going to see every time how it could ever be good. But you have to trust God. Because His word is always true. Don't doubt. Don't despair. Don't become bitter. Man, I'll tell you what. When I meet Christians who have become bitter, I go through at least a twofold reaction. Grieved and mad. Amen. Grieved because it hurts me to think that the devil could have ever got an inroad in somebody's heart and mind enough to make them turn on God. And then it makes me mad to think that any pitiful human being could feel like they know more than God knows. It's a slap in the face of God. Amen. When you think you know better than God, you're slapping Him in the face. Amen. Think how you feel when your child is trying to tell you something you know is not right. They're begging for something you know they can't have. How do you like that? When they get upset at you, really stuck up. You feel like grabbing them and shaking that naughtiness out of them, that nonsense out of them. Amen. I wonder what God has to think sometimes when people like you and I, amen, who are so limited in our knowledge and so limited in our ability, and then we doubt God and we despair on God and get bitter at God and even get angry at God and get disillusioned at God. God forbid. Amen. The psalmist said this, and I'm coming to the end. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Now, I'd never thought this verse came to me today, and I'd never really thought about it and pondered it like this. Let me point out quickly to you five truths from those two verses. Number one, the very obvious one, the steps of a good man or woman are ordered by the Lord. And the word ordered there means prepared, directed, arranged. All right? So we believe that a man or a woman who's living, they love God, they're called according to his purpose, they're living a righteous life, their steps are arranged and directed and prepared and ordered by God. That is true. Number two, the Lord delights in the way of that righteous man. The Lord takes pleasure in the life of the righteous man. Those right decisions that they make. Every time you make a right choice, God delights in that. Amen. Every time you make a right decision, every time you have a right attitude, every time you take the right direction, amen, he delights in your way. Amen. So God arranges that step, and then when you take it, it makes him joyful. Does that make sense? Third, this is the downside. That good man, that righteous man, sometimes falls. Okay, now see, here's where the problem comes in. Our problem is not with God. Our problem is with us. So, if you fall down in life and you make a mess out of it, don't get bitter at God. Get bitter at yourself. Because God didn't do it. You did. Now, this says, though he fall. He is not knocked down by God. He falls. And we all have to understand, we are human. And we do sometimes fall. We do have setbacks. We do make mistakes. We may sin. Amen. We may step aside from God's plan. We may miss the mark. We may have circumstances that are contrary and hurtful to us. Amen. It does happen even to the good man that is following a path that's been arranged by God and prepared by God and planned by God. Amen. We all have things that happen to us. Amen. And we fall. Just because something happens that causes you to fall does not mean that God is no longer ordering your steps. Because the story's not over yet. We're only halfway through it. God is ordering a good man's steps. God's delighting in the way that good man is taking. And then that good man gets smacked and falls. But point number four is, in these verses, that this good man, this righteous man who falls, shall not be utterly cast down. Amen. And what I found was, utterly cast down, three words in English, only one Greek word, Hebrew word. That's the only way they could really translate that one Hebrew word. Utterly cast down. And it means thrown away, cast out forever. All right, so what that says then, though he does fall, he will not automatically be thrown away or cast out forever. Just because something bad happens does not mean all of your good life is over. Amen. Just because you fall down in those circumstances does not mean that you're automatically thrown away and that your life is no longer going to be ordered by God. That the whole plan has been shut off to the side and scuttled and you've lost it all. No, no, no. When you fall down, you have to understand. Amen. The last point is that God is still upholding him with his hand. Amen. Every good man, every good woman is going to have times when they fall. But oh, please, please, don't allow that fall to make you feel like you have been cast completely away. Man, I tell you what, I hate the devil because the devil causes people to fall. The devil works circumstances against the people of God like he did Job, like he did Joseph. The devil works these things against people of God, and as soon as the trouble hits them in the face, he tells them, God is the one who did it. It makes me mad. Even Job thought God was doing it. God wasn't doing it. It was the devil. And you need to remember that. Amen. So when you do fall, amen, remember, you're not automatically thrown away. Your life is not cast out forever. Because he says, for the Lord upholdeth him. Amen. The Lord will pick him back up. Amen. The Lord will lift him back up. Oh, how great it is. Amen. Even when circumstances come your way that cause you to fall down, oh, the glory and grace of God, that you can have confidence in God's providence. Amen. And not give up in despair and not become angry and bitter at God and throw it all away. No, God is not wanting to throw away your life and your confidence. Amen. God wants to pick you back up again and start you back on the road. Amen. Where he's ordering your steps and delighting in your way. And you may fall down again. You probably will. Because the Bible said even a just man falls 7 times, but he rises up again. Amen. The victory comes not as a matter of how many times you fall down, but the victory comes as a matter of how many times you get up. If you'll get up one more time, then you fall down, you'll win. How hard is that? You got to get up just one more time, then once you fall down. Amen. All things are not good, but all things work together for good. And you and I need to have confidence in providence. Amen. Let's stand tonight if you would. Praise the Lord. Oh, we thank you, Lord, that you really are mindful of us. We have to sometimes say like the psalmist said, Lord, what is man that thou art even mindful of him? Your majesty is so far beyond what we can even imagine and comprehend. Your glory is so far above anything we could ever comprehend. But oh, Lord, your love has brought you right down to our level. Your grace, hallelujah, has brought your glory right down to where we live. And we thank you for it, Lord. And oh, I pray you'd help every one of us. We're living in a real world. We're facing difficulties and struggles. We're facing battles, hardships, these circumstances of life that come our way. And not all of them are complementary to us. Many of them are contrary to us, Lord. And sometimes we do fall down. But I pray, Lord, 2 ways tonight. Those that are having their steps ordered by you and you're delighting in their way, help them not to fall. And Lord, if there are some that are here that have fallen under the circumstances they're in, help them not to despair, but to be lifted up again tonight by your hand. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, help us, Lord, even though we can't see your hand, help us to know that it's there. Oh, Lord, even though we're not aware of it all the time, help us to believe in it all the time. Give us victory and strength, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's come tonight.